All right, guys, big show this week. We've got the Suns rising. We've spoken a lot about them. We've got some big dogs back for Richmond. And play on or out of bounds, pissing in a kid's pool. I don't know. Let us know.
This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.
All right, Tommy, let's get stuck into the podcast, mate.
Welcome back to the ACES Premiership Countdown. My name's Tommy Sheridan and I'm your host and I'm joined by the pig, Michael Hibbert. How was your weekend, big fella?
It's good, mate. I'll be honest, a bit nervous and tail between my legs after tipping Melbourne to win the flag and they let me down and the pigs parlay didn't go to plan either. And I like my boxing and MMA and I've given you an absolute stinker saying Ngannou would make go the distance and he's been flattened in the second round. So I'll be honest, I had beads of sweat coming down my forehead when I walked in here today, but you've let me down pretty nicely so far.
Opening round doesn't count, does it? Opening round, it's a free hit.
You know what I think, opening round, and it's like round one this week and it's where it all starts. So we'll put that behind us. I think I'm not going too well on the tipping. We'll go into that in a minute.
You cost me as well. We're going to get to the tipping in a minute, but I changed my tip after the podcast. So from now on, I'm going to tip on the podcast and you get my phone out and tip and leave it, because when you were tipping them to win the flag, I'm going, maybe he knows something that I don't know. So I swapped my tip.
Maybe I should be a sales rep or something.
I tell you what, you're bloody good at it, because that tip you gave me in the boxing, what did you tell me? And then I'll tell you what I've gone and done, which I've made an absolute blue as well.
Anthony Joshua, two-time heavyweight champions fighting Ngannou, who arguably beat Tyson Fury, who's the best heavyweight in the world at the moment, nearly in a decision. I thought, he'll go the distance. He's got a head like a brick and you can't knock him out. And I've sold it to you. I've sold it to all my mates and... Oh, man, I had to turn my phone off over the weekend. I was coughing sprays left, right, and center. And you were one of them too.
So this is what I've done. You've got the tip. I've forgotten about it because I'm not interested in boxing. That's just me. I don't really follow it. Anyway, I get to the airport because I'm flying to Sydney to watch the Giants. As soon as I get there, I meet my mate Jimmy and his mate. I've just met his mate on the spot, right? He's watching the fight. I go, you got the fight on, do you? I go, oh, mate, Joshua will go the distance. Me mate's a guru. He said that he's got a head like a cement. You can't knock him down. Even Fury couldn't put him down. He goes, yeah. I go, yeah, $4 to go the distance. Mate, I'm not joking, yeah. The fight started and he's gone bang, put him on his ass. He looks at me. I go, I started texting you going, mate, what's this mail you sent me? And then second round starts and he's out cold and didn't move off the canvas. I'm thinking, mate goes, I've got to go board me flight. He was going somewhere else, this other bloke. I'm going, oh, no, why did I relay that one?
Yeah, it was a stinker. And you've pumped me up to be this big expert tipper here and I've tipped one for the week. So anyway, mate, we'll move on.
It's a tough game, but we will move on, and we'll it's great to have you back. I'm really excited. Appreciate everyone that reached out last week. Always it's always hard off the top, but me and Pig have some good chemistry. We really enjoyed doing it, and we were really excited to get back in here. So let's get stuck into it. AFL Round 1, plenty to talk about. Let's start off with play on or out of bounds. I love this segment. What have you got for us this week? I reckon last week we had a bit of a stinker, but this week I've seen the run sheet, and I love it.
Well, last week actually got a bit of feedback. Was the play on or out of bounds, putting the rubbish in the neighbour's bin, and a lot of people got back to me and said it's play on, which made me feel good about myself. But this week I've got one, I feel like a lot of people can relate to it, is, I took my kids and my wife down to Gumbaya World and, saw the animals and jumped in the pool and doing the splash zone there with my kids, 3 and 1 years old. So was in the kids' pool, and I'm going to go out and say, and I know I'm going to get called a sick unit and probably get cancelled, but I pissed in the pool, Tommy.
Oh, not the kids' pool, mate. So, can't be pissing in the kids' pool. No. Is it even deep enough for you? It wasn't going down your leg, was it?
I made sure I was, you know, up to like the meter, you know, so I wasn't in the real shallow bit. I was walking around up to about my chest, and I didn't sit there and let it marinate. I was splashing it around and mixed it in the water a bit. But anyway, so it put me... It's made me think, you know, play on out of bounds. At what point is it okay to piss in a pool? You know, I thought, you know, I didn't want to take my one-year-old to the toilet with me. You know, they're pissing in there. Why can't I? So I'm saying in a kid's pool, fair game. Decent enough size. I was, you know, it wasn't too many people around me. But, you know, obviously in the ocean, play on. I don't think you can do it in a spa. And... maybe not in your mate's small pool in the backyard. I don't know. What do you think?
I just on that. Wait, I'll answer this in a second. But you go, maybe not in the spa. Now, you played a lot of footy in a lot of seasons. So how many times did you urinate in the spa? Be honest now that you're not there. That is out of bounds, man. That is out of bounds.
You got to kick it around a bit.
No wonder. Oh, the spas are filthy, mate. Oh, mate.
Well, they're filthy enough. You see Band-Aid. And pubes floating around through them. What's a bit of piss? It's chlorinated.
Not in the
water.
Ice bath, though, sure. Nah. Not the ice bath.
The hot tub. Nah. Nah. I don't know.
It's a good one. Out of bands or play on. I think pissing in the pool is play on, but the kids fall as an adult, I reckon that's out of bounds. I reckon that's out of bounds. Let the kids have their, that's their pool. They can piss in their pool, but you got to go piss in the adult pool.
Oh, it made me laugh. Made me think. And that's what this segment's about, is making you think about, all right, what, because some people agree, obviously no one admits to doing it, but I'm going out there and saying it on live TV or live camera here, that yes, I pissed in the pool. I'm not proud of it, but I did it.
I think there's that much chlorine these days, it doesn't even matter.
Mate, exactly why I did it. So anyways,
that is a good one. Ask yourself if you're listening or if you're with your mates this weekend and let us know. Is it play on or out of bounds to piss in the kids' pool if you're a dad? Or any pool, for that matter.
Yeah,
oh, very good. Let's move on to the Aces leaderboard here. We've got the AFL tipping competition. Before I read out the two tipsters, the sick units, like we like to call them, that went 4 from 4, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's joined. We've got 650 people in this competition, and that's a lot of people. You put them in a room and you look at them, you get very nervous. So I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that entered. We're going to have a lot of fun with our tipping this year. And if you're right at the top, you're going to get a mention every week. But we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun with our prizes. And that's what I'll do before I read out the leaderboard or the top two. Pig, we need to start organising prizes, and I'm in no rush because I know that we've got a lot of friends that are still playing that all haven't played, and they've got some nice memorabilia at home that we can maybe just get in studio. But I think maybe we start talking about what prizes should we start off and how should we roll these prizes out at the end of the year?
Well, I definitely think a Melbourne jumper, after all the favours some of those boys owe me, I'll definitely get a Melbourne jumper over the line. And we have blokes at other clubs, we'll be able to get that stuff over the line as well. A couple of footies maybe signed. But, yeah, I think the first cab off the rank will be hitting the boys up at Melbourne and asking for a signed jumper. I mean, I've got enough signed in my time. I know how it works, and it can definitely get done. So there, I'll start with that.
That's very good. What are we going, individual players, or we think team jersey?
I think the team. I think it's. I mean, if we have some listeners, if a winner, maybe we, if they just want Max Gorn or something, I'm sure I can get that over the line. But I think the team signed jersey looks better. Don't you? You can frame it up at home, put it in the pool room.
100%. All right, I'll hold you accountable to that one.
Yeah, that can get done.
I think I can. I think I can start off with something similar at the Giants and Freo, but we might even, you know, maybe you just want Toby Green. We'll work it out. I know Toby would happily sign one, but let's start with our clubs that we know, and we'll get them in studio, and we'll just start building the bank. Because what I want to do, while I'm talking about the prizes here for the tipping competition, 650 people have entered. There's a responsibility for me and you to get more than one prize. Now, I'm thinking in my head we should have 18 prizes, and the first person can pick what they want off the top.
Like it.
And we might get some extra stuff there as well. And then we work our way down to 18th. Yep. And or we give number one the Premier's jersey or whoever signed it from the team that year and then goes down to 18. So I was thinking that, but it's about the people at home. So we'll put a little poll up or something, a survey maybe.
Prize 18 could be this beautiful KPI Constructions helmet. Who knows?
I'll tell you what,
it's an absolute beauty.
I was walking around my hotel with this today. Big shout out to Rammer and KPI dropping off a second one. Just got the premium in studio here. Let's go to our tipping leaderboard. So two blokes, or maybe there's a lady, but two blokes have tipped, I think they are blokes, have tipped perfectly, 4 from 4. So only 2 out of 650, which is elite. Tobes, 1974, and Tristan Barnett, 16. Congratulations, 4 from 4. Great start. Pig, where have you placed yourself? Because I went 2 from 4, and I've found myself 317th, which is not a great number to look at.
Well, this expert tipster that you brought into studio is 497th in the out of 600. I think there's about 7 people that tipped 0, and I've tipped 1. So I'm off to an absolute flyer, Tommy. As I said, the D's let me down. I was disappointed in their efforts. They didn't kick straight early, but the Swans were really good. And Carlton, how did Brisbane let that lead slip?
Well, you just led into our next segment, our Punters Club review, our 12-week challenge. We are sitting here thinking we're geniuses. We thought we'd do the Queensland special, take Brisbane into the Suns. I shot off a message to Pig at quarter time and said, well, the first leg's ticked.
Yeah.
And then you blink.
And we're giving ourselves a gimme on that one. We're going to tip in, it was $50 each to start, $100, and we're giving ourselves $1.60 and the win off the $100 there. So we're tipping ourselves $80 in and starting again. And we're taking it as a win for this week because that was absolute dog shit. And
Dunks, if you and the boys are listening, what are you doing? Come on, boys, tighten up in the last quarter.
We're going to pretend like Brisbane won by a point and start from there. As I said, I wasn't a big fan of round zero or opening round, so it starts this week, and we'll go into our tips later.
So what Hibbo's saying, we had a chat on the phone earlier, and because it's not a lot of money, we're going to consider it a win, and we're just going to put $80 in each, and we're going to go again, and we're going to just think that we won. So if you're playing at home, you can do that, or just start again, but we just feel like we were robbed by 1 point by the Blues brothers. You know, Doherty goes out, and we'll talk about him in a second because that was shattering. No weedering, no wash. We couldn't believe it. So we're just going to fire away and go week two with our compounding interest type model with our 12-week challenge.
Well, we won't be doing this after 5 rounds and making up the dollars
by
then.
We'll
be in the thousands. So this is the one time we get to do this, and we're giving ourselves a
mulligan.
Mulligan, there you go.
A 12-week challenge, a punting mulligan. There you go. Pigs parlay update there, no good.
Nah, as it's quite embarrassing. I put it in my intro there. I have my tail between my legs here. I don't know why you even brought it up.
Sorry, mate. We'll move straight on. Tommy Sips, very stiff. I had everything but the Pies players. Schulte kicked 3, needed a goal. To go in there, 25, had 21. But all my Giants boys dominated. Cal Brown kicked 5. I had him for 1. And Jesse Hogan, who I thought would have a big day, I think he kicked 4 and I had him for 2.
Yep.
And Tom Green, my man, I had him for 30. I think he saluted. But I should have just stuck with Giants to win and did not touch the other boys because there wasn't a lot of value there. But that's all right. We'll go again. Just trust your gut, train. I've just got to trust me gut. And we've got a lot of games, so should be able to find some value for everyone out there. So there's the review. There's our accountability. Righto, it's time for the Rick's eye-catching moments, Hibbo. Something that caught your eye this week. So let's put the frames on, and I'll start with you. What caught your eye this week?
We watched a lot of NFL over the off-season especially, and to see the boys running out with their jumpers, and I just feel like it's time to put names back on the jumpers. I remember back in, I think, 2014 or 15, had the Hibbard number 1 playing the Dons at the time, and I reckon it looked great, and I reckon it's time for the AFL to bring that back. I reckon it's great marketing. You can sell a lot more jumpers. You get your favourite player, not only their number but their name on there, and me being an ex-player now having kids, my daughters will be running around with 14 Billings on their back. I want them to have the number 14 Hibbert on their back. And I think they're things that I reckon it looks good. I reckon it'll be good for the game. People in the crowd be able to have their favourite players' names on their back as well as their numbers. So it's time the AFL to bring that back in. That was my eye catcher. I think it'll look good, and going forward it'll be a good one.
Love it. We love our NFL, and I've saw someone yesterday wearing an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay jersey, which is no longer there, but it does look elite knowing that that's his jersey and his name's on the back. I can't really remember seeing it in was it 2015 they did it?
Yeah, I've got it. I've still got the jumper at home, actually. My wife got a few jumpers, special jumpers over the years framed for me. That's framed at home. But it looks good, you know. I mean, the players now, Van Ruin, he's a star, number two. But I'm sure there's a lot of Nathan Jones fans that would love to have the number two on their back when they go to the game just to say, hey, he was my favourite player. So I think that's a good one going forward. Not sure if they'll do it. Not sure if they'll listen to us and the pod.
Well, I know Matty DeBoer's on the AFL Commission now. We'll be sending him a little DM post this podcast. I reckon he's one of those guys that will listen, take it all in. Nothing will happen, no doubt. But I reckon it's the reason it would make sense, sales. So yeah. You go to the merchandise store and the only way I can see them doing it is introducing it for one round. So you know how you have retro round?
Yep.
We might have like names on the background.
That's what they did back in 2015.
So I reckon they should do that because then all of a sudden your Nick Daicos fans, they're all buying the one with his name on it and just the normal one without his name. And it's just all of a sudden they're walking around town with that name and number.
Yeah.
It's still got the logo on the front. I like it. I really like it.
Thanks, mate.
That is an eye-catching moment there.
We'll be when they're wearing them in a couple of rounds' time.
Would you claim it if the AFL's already put pen to paper last year and said we're doing this and you've just rolled out?
I must have listened to the pod.
I love it. Well, what my eye-catching moment this week is the Gold Coast Suns top of the table for the first time in AFL-VFL history. Wow. We are tipping them heavily. I've told everyone about the Suns probably the last two or three years. But this year, I reckon they're the real deal. And I thought they started well. But yeah, the first time they've ever been on top of the ladder as a club. Now, we know it was opening round and it was only four games. But if they can win this week and win well, they might be able to just hang around there. So that was a little bit of an eye catcher for me, mate. And I just thought I'd bring it up again and just pump up the Suns because they need a little bit of love up there on the coast.
Weren't they good? Matt Rowe. Second of all time in terms of clearances. They looked
great. We fired him up a little bit. You know, I know he said he eats a lot of grass. He's eating clearances. That's what he was doing. 20 clearances. 20 clearances. Like, that is, he might be, you know, I know I've tipped Miller for the Brownlow, but maybe I've tipped the wrong bloke.
Yeah, well, I tipped Smokey for Anderson, and we've gone around him.
Well, sometimes it is the third, you know, second, or who knows? They're all stars.
Yeah.
But the midfield's stacked.
Yeah, stacked. And Witt's in the in the ruck, dominated on the way. I know they didn't have Nank for Richmond, but that midfield is going to be dangerous to watch.
Very dangerous. Well, there you go. There's our two Rick's eye-catching moments. Names on the back of jerseys and the Suns top of the table for the first time in VFL, AFL history. Love it, Hibbo. Well, now it's time to talk footy. That's what I've got you here for. You can always redeem yourself. That's about how you respond.
Yes.
And respond is what we will do. Thursday night footy, 7:30 p.m. at the G. This doesn't get any bigger than this one. There will be 90,000+. Carlton taking on Richmond. No Doherty. Shout out to Doc. Hope you're going all right, mate. You've had a tough trot. Just hate seeing blokes, especially great blokes, go down like that. And, wishing him a full recovery. I don't know how long it'll be, whether it's is it season and finals as
generally,
well?
Generally, ACL is, the rest of the year
just
in finals.
Devastating.
So he'll be... Yeah, he'll hopefully be pushing for round one next year. Heartbreaking. What a great guy. What a great player and a leader. And it's interesting to see how Carlton bounce back because I'm sure they're all feeling it and all hurting, but I'm tipping them to bounce back. Richmond have Dusty, Nank, huge in the ruck, and Lynch back. But Lynch hasn't played since round four last year. That's a long time to be out. I mean, he's a naturally fit and big unit, but I'm tipping Carlton. I think after what they did to Brisbane last week, that comeback was nothing like I've ever seen. So Carlton for me. You, Tommy?
I'm going to tip Carlton, but I don't think this is like, – we were talking about our locks, and I don't think this is a lock this week. No. I thought Richmond's last half was good. I know their first half was really bad, but these three in – I'm big on leadership, so you get the captain in – you get Tommy Lynch up there, and it's not even about, you know, he just has to contest and compete and lock it in.
Yep.
And then Dusty, you put him anywhere in the midfield in the forward line and people get a bit twitchy. It's a completely different team. And at the G, huge crowd. And then you take Doherty out and Carlton just showed you what you can do to them if you play a certain way like Brisbane did. So I reckon this will be tighter than you think. So I reckon it'll be really tight. So, you know, considering we talk about betting, I reckon that Carlton 1-39 for a little bit more juice. Yep. Could even be 1-25 or whatever it is, that little margin they get there. But I think this will be tighter than you think. Would not be surprised if there's an upset. But, yeah, I'm going to tip Carlton on that run and what they showed last week.
Yep.
It's just that forward line. Mackay and Kurnow, I don't know how you're going to stop both of them. One of them can probably kick every week. You're probably going to expect one of them to kick four or five, or they both just kick three. You know, it's going to be hard to stop, especially if he kicks straight, which we need to give him a shout out.
Big H
kicking straight. Like, that is too many people come for him last year, and and to see him start the season like that, he can kick sideways for the next 3 weeks because he's literally won them round one against a team that was in the granny. So
and what he did to Harris Andrews is one of the best fullbacks the last 5 years. Like, he was leading him to the ball, jumping and marking, and he's so big and strong. He can kick straight like he did last week. He's going to be a weapon for him all year.
Big weapon. Let's move on. Another blockbuster. Collingwood taking on the Swans. This one will be also at the MCG. The Pies got done by the Giants last week. The Giants were humming. Like we said on the pod, you were still leaning Pies, but Murphy and Howe, and as a backman, you'd know, when you lose a roll-off player and a bloke that can play tall and small and also a key, it's very tough. And the Giants are humming. Like, they have an elite forward line, elite system. This week, I just thought Melbourne really butchered it in the forward half. They actually played really well. I said this to you last week. They can't score. It's why I didn't really like them, but they played really well, like in terms of 30 entries for one goal. 30 entries for one goal. I don't know how many times that's happened.
I
don't reckon you've done 30 entries and one goal. That's outrageous. Like, you have 60 entries in a game, you're normally smashing teams. So so I reckon Sydney are vulnerable in that way. And Collingwood off a loss at home at the G, well, they don't lose many there. So I'm going to pressure you into Collingwood as my lock this week, even though Sydney are playing well.
Yeah, you sold me into it, so maybe you're the sales rep now. But, I was saying to you off air that, Sydney were unreal on the weekend. Heaney through the midfield, they filled in for Parker out, Mills out. They're big outs, but Heaney, just rather than being forward, spent a bit more time in the midfield and probably had his best game of his career. They were just a lot cleaner on the weekend. You know, Melbourne fumbled, couldn't convert, but then they kicked away in the last quarter and showed what kind of team they can be this year. In saying that, I'm tipping Collingwood at home at the G Friday night to bounce back. I'm sure they'll be disappointed, and I'm pretty sure they got Howe back, which, as you're saying, missing key people in the back line is huge. I think out of any of the lines, the back line's one where you probably need the most cohesion and keep the same players in that back six or seven throughout the year to get the best out of a defensive unit. So having him back will be huge. It'll be a cracking game. I think we are tipping Pies at home as the lock, but it will be a good game. So I'm looking forward to watching that one.
So I've just had the teams roll in as we record this live, and Tigers swing the axe, Blues small in, Dusty back is the headline. Richmond coach Adam Uze has swung the axe after a disappointing opening round with recruit Jacob Kaczynski among four players omitted. And meanwhile, small forward Corey Durden comes into the Blues side to replace Sam Doherty. So Sam Banks, Naismith, Samson Ryan and Kaczynski out, and in come Lynch, Martin, Nate Kervis and Mansell for that Thursday night cracker. So there you go, live coming through the podcast. That'll be there as we expected those names to come in. And that's why I'm a bit scared about that one. I wouldn't be, if you're a little punter on the couch Thursday night football, just stay away from the head-to-head, because I reckon it to be a dangerous one this week. Righto, let's fly through. We like to go just little snippets of the games we think are crackers. This one will be pretty good. Essendon taking on the Hawks at the G again. Jeez, how's the G going to go three nights in a row? I mean, Melbourne weather's been turning on lately, so it'll be doing fine. 145. The Dons are $1.73 and the Hawks $2.12. I like the Dons. I know there's a few things pre-season, whatnot. The Hawks play an attacking game style. I like the Dons coach. I like what he represents. I reckon I watched snippets of them in the practice game against Geelong, and they look like they were playing on and going a bit quicker. And I like what they got up forward. So I just think Essendon, and that's a rivalry game normally, not really much anymore, but I just reckon they're just probably a year or two more developed than the Hawthorn as a whole. As you know, you never know round one, but that's just what I'm going to go off, a bit of form last year, and they'll be pushing for finals to break that drought.
Couldn't agree more. It is a rivalry game. Two teams that hate each other historically. I mean, recently it hasn't been as bad, but They're two teams you really don't know a lot about, do you? Like, I feel like we've got a fair idea of how everyone else plays. They've kind of slipped under the radar a little bit. Like, you don't know if they're a good defensive team or attacking team. We know the Hawks like to take the game on and, you know, kick and go fast and try to be exciting. I think Essendon, over the last 18 months since Scotty's got there, tried to shore up their defence a bit more. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. It's interesting game first up for both of them. I'm tipping Essendon. I think they've just probably got consistently more mature and better players over all three lines. I'm tipping them to win just. I think, it'll be a good game. But, you know, Parrish out is a big one. But I think they can cover for him and get the win.
Yeah. Jai Caldwell played with him at the Giants. Been talking about him. But I think blokes like that will take their game to the next level. Yeah. Yeah, they've got a lot of young talent there. So I know that Parrish is out, but I think he was out last year and they covered him fine. Yeah, you know,
he'll be out for a while, I think, too. It's a pretty decent quad that he's got. But I think it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see Mackay and how he goes, because they were missing a key, strong, big back that can play on key forwards. So they never really had that. That Zirk Thatcher isn't as big as what, you know, he's not going to be able to play on a Tom Hawkins or anyone like that. So he'll be big for him. Hopefully he can kick it off to a good start.
And as you said, it's round one. We haven't seen these teams. Really hard to comment. Like, when I watched the games last week, I picked up on, you know, Cal Brown for the Giants, which we're going to talk about right now, the Giants taking on North. But Callum Brown is a player that I know really well. He's explosive. He's a tough matchup. He's a guy that you can look at every week. He's quick. He's agile, kicks the ball 60.
Yep.
He can take a mark. Like, they're the insights that you've already seen against, you know, the premiers. And they're the kind of tips we want to give. But when you haven't seen a team play, it's hard. Cam Zerha, the Bull, he's been on the pod. It's his 100th game this week. So shout out to the Bull. Just saw that the other day. I hope he goes well. But not too well. I hope the Giants boys win. Look, Giants at $1.06. Leave that alone. They'll be a lock this week. We won't be putting them in our thing, but we'll just be it's just silly at $1.06. But, yeah, that'll be great. And it'll be interesting to see how North move the ball, play. They've got a good midfield. What's the update on Jai Simpkin, do you know?
I think he's out.
Jai Boy's still out?
Yeah, he's still out this week. Which is a big out. It seems too easy, I think, GWS, after what they did to the Premiers last week, going up against North, who are still building as a young team. They've got some good draft picks that they're really excited about, and I'm excited to watch them, but it would be pretty one-sided in my opinion.
And Hibbo, last game at home for about 8 weeks, the Royal Melbourne Show. Now, when you were a kid and you go to the Royal Melbourne Show down here in Melbourne, what was your favourite lolly bag, just to throw one in there?
I love the Freddo bag. The Sherbet Bomb one,
or the Bertie Beetle, remember that one?
Bertie Beetle. I feel like everyone had the Bertie Beetle.
I think it was because it was $2 and you just your old man or mum would just go, yeah, you can have a Bertie Beetle.
Get the blow-up bloody things and start bashing your brother with them. I haven't been the Royal Melbourne
I used
show
to love the trolley.
While.
You know, the sour lollies? They got the geckos.
The Warhead one was good too, yeah.
Yeah, I used to love the lolly bags. Oh, yeah.
Might go down. Yeah.
You got an excuse. You got kids. If I go down there, I look like a bit of a, you know, sick unit. Like our tipsters that can't four from four, a couple of sick units. There you go, Giants. They'll be looking forward to that. They get one more home game back to back, and then they're pretty much not on the road. They go to Canberra, but they're just not at home. So they'll be looking forward to showcasing an amazing performance like last week in front of their fans. Righto, this one's interesting. Geelong Cats taking on the Saints. This one's at GMHBA Stadium, and I know for a fact Ross Lyon, teams are fit and he hates losing round one. He hasn't lost many, but the Cats don't lose down there too often. The Cats midfield concerns me a little bit because it's a bit young, and you know, I think the Saints midfield is a bit more mature. So I'm actually really interested to see this one because if you get the ball to Jezza Cameron and Tomahawk and you know their forwards up there, they'll get the job done. But can they get it up there enough is probably my question.
Yeah. I can't tip against them down there, but you're right. I think Guthrie going out and will be out for some time. He's a huge out. He's a great runner, great ball user, and really sparks it out of the midfield for them. But they've still got danger. They've still got Atkins can roll through there a little bit. I just feel like they're too strong down there. St Kilda be interesting. You know Ross quite well, you know his systems, and you said they don't lose round one.
And I know for a fact we used to love playing Geelong. It was just, I don't know, there's a thing that he knows how to play their style. I actually have a feeling that the Saints can get this done.
Yeah, and Saints are another team, similar to what I was saying about Essendon and Hawks. I don't know what they're going to be this year. They could be great. They could really push for top eight, and they also couldn't at the same time. I'm interested to see how they go. This week will be interesting. I keep saying that, but I'd love to see them go well this year with the cattle that they've got. And but I don't think they're getting it done round one.
I'm going to tip the Saints just off what I'm going with my gut. I'm just sick of...
You going with that in your tips?
Yes. I'm going to go with my tips.
One I'm going to grab on you.
That's how you think. Hey, it's always three upsets a week. When I first come out of the game, I thought, how easy
Geelong
is this?
Geelong at Geelong, all right.
It ain't...
You love Ross, don't you?
No. It's not that. I'm actually impressed with what Saints have done preseason wise. I'm impressed with what they did last year, and they've got a lot of talent back. Their team's a bit better than what it was last year. And Geelong, Essendon were giving them a bit of a touch up, and they rested their players. And I'm not saying I don't know who's going to win yet, but I reckon I can get a cheeky one back from last week.
Carlton won the Wizard Cup in the preseason games back in the day, and still won the Wooden Spoon about three times. Let's not get carried away about the preseason games.
Let's put this up next week
much.
If I get this one right. I'm just going to tip 260. It's not like the bookies; they think they're a chance, but I reckon the Saints might start off strong. It's as I said, a bit of inside knowledge here. I know how this bloke operates, and if they're not playing well round one, they generally start unbelievably, and can they hold on? That's the way it goes.
Well, if it's anything like last week, mate, I'm nowhere near it. So
me and you should have a little side bet, something, the punishment at the end of the year, whoever finishes above each other on the tipping.
Righto,
let's move on. Suns taking on the Crows at home. This one's in Gold Coast. The Crows will be very good this year, but the Suns started off really well, and they played, I thought, quite poorly to finish the game. You want to put teams away, and they let Richmond back in. I think some young kid was having a go at goal, and if he kicked it, it was like three goals, and he missed it. So that's how close they got back into the game. So I reckon the Suns would have reviewed that like a great win, but also, hey, we've got a lot of work to be done. And up at home, I really like them. I don't know, it's not about the Dewey Ball. They play it well.
Yep.
They're all fit and available. So I'm going to tip the Suns. But yeah, it'll be very tight. I'm looking forward to seeing Adelaide play this year.
This is a hard week for tipping, if you ask me, because I'm big on Gold Coast, but I'm actually going Adelaide. And I'll tell you why, because they dominated clearance. They dominated the ruck last week. They're not going to get that this week. Witts had his way and the mids had their way. With Dawson led through the midfield, they're just not going to get the easy use out of there that they did against Richmond, who were a bit undermanned. So I'm actually going Adelaide. I'm really excited to see what they do this year. There'll be another year under Burgeau, who I've worked with before. So they're going to be fit and firing. They're always going to be good to go round one.
It's good insight, that, actually.
Can't wait
to
see the big Texan go at it again. He started like a house on fire last year. And, Rankin, steps up his game a bit more.
Rankin against his old side. I've got to stay with the Suns. I've tipped them to come top eight. I can't, if I'm not going to tip them against Adelaide, who I think will be right next to them, then I'm kidding myself. I've got to stick with him.
Yeah.
Even though everything you're saying, I agree.
He has been flying from all reports, Rankin.
Oh, he's a star.
Next to Dawson and Laird in the midfield, it's going to be a battle.
Don't forget Matty Riau, though. He's a big boy.
Let's not underestimate the Gold Coast midfield, but they absolutely pants Richmond through there, and it's not going to happen again. So they're going to find a little bit harder, and I'm back in Adelaide to get it done.
Love it. Let's fly through the last few, except this one probably needs to be spoken about. Melbourne taking on the Bulldogs. This one will be at the G, 1 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm concerned about the D's, and I know you're a D's man, but I said this last week, and I don't know why I changed my tip. Until I can see a forward line, until I can see something up there, I know they can defend well. I know they can get the ball out of the midfield, but if they can't score, teams will do what they did and break them open in the last quarter. And when they broke the egg was cracked and off they went. And Sydney put on about five or six goals consecutively, really quickly. So do the D's have an answer? Is anyone back this week?
Cozzy's back. So that's a big
that
in.
That is big.
You know, it's not a key forward that we're after here, but he's a big in. He just adds that spark in the forward line. You know, Bowie goes out with collarbone, shoulder. You know, we probably swing Salem back to cover that. That's an easy cover. And then, you know, Neil Bullen and Sparrow go through the midfield a little bit more. And now that Cozzy's in, I'm backing us in. I'm not convinced the Bulldogs will be too much this year. You just never know with them. Like, but I'm going to the game, excited to go. First game that I've been out of the system, so I'll be there and I'll be going for the D's. I think we'll get it done by about 3 goals.
Wow, I'm going to go to the Dogs. I think I'm going to go off form, and last week I didn't see enough, but yep. Happy to be corrected, but I'm going to go with that with Norton. I mean, Norton and Jamara, this is a question for you. Maisie takes Norton. Who takes Mara?
I think Tomlinson has to. They wouldn't play Lever on him. Lever's more your third tall drop-off interceptor. They don't want to take that away from his game by playing him on Jamara or Norton. So that's the weapon that the Dogs have.
They're the matchups to watch.
Exactly. So can Tomo stay with someone as agile?
He was good last week, Tomo.
He's very good.
The keys did their job.
Him and Maisie were super down there. So they're in good form. So I think they can negate those big key forwards. And then you got to ask the question, where else are they scoring from? So interested to see how big Jimmy Harms goes against the old Bob.
Oh, the Harms, the Harms Cup.
Has he
been chirping?
A little bit. He said he's going to sit on some heads and try and knock a few blocks off. So,
whose head would he love to sit on? Like, who's his closest mate down there?
Bailey Fritsch, Stephen Mayer. And, you know, he probably will float forward. He'll probably play a bit more wing midfield. But if he can... If he sits on Maisie's head or someone, we'll lose it laughing. But... Yeah, good luck to Nutt, but D's for me.
Yeah, good luck, Nutt. Looking forward to that. He fits in like a glove. He looks good in the Doggies colours, I thought. Port taking on the Eagles at Adelaide Oval. I don't think we need to spend much time on this one. How many points? Not being just too disrespectful.
I don't know what the line is, but I'd say it'd be about 7 goals. I'm interested to see Harley Reid. That'd be a good one.
Love when you make a mistake. You always go, it corrects it.
It's an intriguing one. So, number one pick in a team that's probably going to get flogged, but I can't wait to see him go about it.
Much pressure on this bloke, and I just hope he does really well, but, he's natural forward in the end midfielder. I think he's playing half back. I don't know. We'll see what they do. But, we couldn't imagine the ball's going to be up there that much. So looking forward to seeing what he can do when the ball's in his area.
Yeah, I think that's the only really exciting thing about this game, to see what he can produce. So, Port's 4 stars, and I think they get it done easily. So we'll move on.
Well, I've tipped Port to be top 4 and 5. You know, I think I said there'd be Carlton and Port fighting for the fourth. But, I think Port will be really good. And then the Dockers, this is a really interesting game. The Dockers taking on the Lions. This one's in Perth. Lions coming off a loss. Kitty Coleman, again, shout out to you, mate. Hope you're going well. Seeing blokes go down and out for the season like Doc is just heartbreaking. And someone that's very important with their ball use off halfbacks, he's going to be a huge loss, and they'll replace him with someone. I think McKenna might be who they go with if he passes the fitness test, I'm told. But whoever it is, the Lions looked unbelievable that first half. So if they bring that, I don't think you can stop them over in Perth. But also, Freo at home are hard to beat, as you know as well. And round one, everyone's so fit and healthy, and it's the best. It's your best 22 v best 22. So what do you think, Pig?
I think Brisbane will bounce back significantly. I heard Lachie Neal comment on radio saying that they were a bit selfish. They weren't running defensively. So, it was pretty strong words. So I can't see them doing that again. You know, they were 47 points up, playing unbelievably last week. I think after that, it'll be a strong message to bounce back defensively. And I see that happening. I mean, Freo over there, as you said, are very hard to beat. And I'm looking forward to seeing Big Jacko go another year at the Frio. Like, they got their ruck combos is probably the best in the league at the moment.
Well, and Sean Darcy's out.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, there, so Sean Darcy out is why I'm going to tip Brisbane.
Okay,
there I you hate go. Saying that, Frio fans, don't come for me, but I just think that was the reason I'm shit. And because Brisbane, they're going to be angry. They're going to be playing like a – it's going to be – they're going to want these 4 points bad.
And great teams who we think Brisbane are, they don't generally lose two in a row and they bounce back from hard losses like that. So I've got Brisbane winning, big win over there, and it'll kickstart the rest of their year now. Even though it's round one and it shouldn't have been opening round last week, we'll put that behind us.
Oh, you're not happy with opening round. There you go. We've got our tips right there. Hebo's tipped a few that I haven't. It's going to be interesting to see how we go next week. Now it's time for our 12-week challenge. We need to put our locks in. We're going to do our little same game multi that we'll do picks parlay, Tommy's tips. We'll give you a $10 bit of value on the weekend. Hopefully we can bring some smiles to all you aces out there. But our 12-week challenge, select the lock of the week. I'm putting forward Collingwood, and I haven't heard an answer from you yet.
Let's go with Collingwood. I think
I'm going to look at their live odds while you're talking.
I think they're around $1.55.
And we can get a boost, can't we?
We can get a boost to $1.60, which we're after. And, you know, if we can't get $1.60, you know, we'll make up for it at some point. Or we pick GWS, you know, just to get it there. So it's Collingwood, big game against the Swans. What do we got there, Tommy?
Yeah, Collingwood into the Giants, we get $1.62.
We'll take that. Collingwood
but then
Giants.
We could just take the pies on their own. They're $1.53.
We're taking that.
So Giants and pies.
And pies, $1.62. And this is going to springboard us
to
the rest of the year and 12 weeks. Well, then it'll be 10. I just can't wait to see this build. As I said, it was too easy last week. It wasn't even a real round, mate. So now we're into the real stuff.
I'm looking forward to that. Well, there you go. We're going to have... Hopefully we're 2 weeks in. I know we lost the first week, guys, and you're going, you boys are breaking the rules, but rules are there to be broken, all right?
They're our rules
and
anyway.
It's our only week we can do this because it's just a little, you know, we've got a little bit of pocket change there and maybe we just go again. So I'm looking forward to that. So Giants, boys, make sure you put on a clinic and the Pies. They have to win at home. You know, just won a flag. There's no reason why they can't light it up while the Swannies are on the road and they'll be up and about after last week's victory.
Yeah, great lock.
Righto, Hibbo, we need some winners next week, and more importantly, we need a couple of stopgaps. Big shout out to KPI Construction and Rama, the alumni there at Harvard. Mate, we've got some big stopgaps this week. We've been chatting all week. We've put in about 5 in our WhatsApp. I've got one fresh from last night, but you have a big one, and I think it's because you're going to the first game in a while and sitting in the stands. I won't ruin it, but give me your KPI stopgap.
Righto, Tommy. Now, this week's stopgap for me is beer tax. Now, I went to the beer and caught up with my mates at the pub. And you know, mate, I love a beer. So this one really hit for me. But paying $7 a pot is absolutely ludicrous. And, you know, I'm not having a crack at the pub owners or the bars. It's the government. And putting tax on these beers is absolutely ridiculous. And it goes up, mate. I've done my research. It goes up every 6 months. So every 6 months they keep going. I remember going to the Mornington Barefoot Bowls playing $2 a pot back when I was 18 years old. And to think that it's gotten to $7 now is absolutely ridiculous. And in saying that, I am going to the G this week. Oh, and I read online.
Round one.
I'm going to the G to watch the D's and the Dogs. And I went online and I saw an article, $11.50 for a Carlton draft is absolutely ridiculous. It's getting to the point where I don't even want to go to the pub. Pub, that is a lie. I will still go to the pub and my missus would be wrapped if I didn't, but I'm still going to keep going. But I don't want to be paying $7 a pot anymore. And here's a little fact for you. We are the fourth highest beer tax country in the whole entire world.
Is that right? Geez, you've done your research this. Mate, the big fella's fired up.
Mate, it's things I care about, such as this. I'm going to do my research, but... To the government, stop putting tax on beers. Stop that. Leave beer alone. Just leave it alone. Tax other things. I know that someone's going to go, Hibbo, but what, you know, they need to tax some stuff. Yeah, I don't care. Anything but beer. Just leave the beer alone. We want to enjoy a beer in peace, not paying $7 a pot. Stop that. Put the beer down at the MCGs too while you're at it.
I can't believe they're taxing beer. Stop that.
Righto, Tommy. What's yours, mate?
I have a KPI construction stop that this week? I'll start and I'll build, but I went to Fred again last night in Sydney. I was very lucky to get a ticket. I went with a few friends. Mind you, in the nosebleeds. So it was more of a sit down. You're standing up. Energy's good. All right. Building, loving the show. He put on a clinic. This bloke was unbelievable live. I can't, recommend this bloke anymore. And all of a sudden, my view was just taken away because this bloke rolled in with three mates and he's standing in front of me. And I'm watching one of the greatest artists of all time just spin the decks, play absolute bangers after banger. And this bloke rolled in and he's got the BO. Oh, tell you what, pig. His armpits were smelling like a rotten egg crossed between wet dog and the bin juice if you had tuna cans every night. If you're going to a festival and you think it's acceptable to have the BO on the armpits and you're throwing your arms around for 90 minutes while Fred again's on, you can't be going to Fred again, standing in front of the train, putting your arms up for 90 minutes and I can smell the bin juice with tuna crossed between rotten eggs. Oh, boy, get the chemist warehouse, son. Stop that. That is unacceptable. You can't be going to a festival, can you?
You can't.
Not a festival, a show. It's not a festival. It's one of the best artists of our era. The young guys and girls are going wild. And this bloke thinks it's acceptable to roll. Mate, the whole row, I couldn't believe it. I go, this bloke's serious? And his friends did. They were hugging that. Mind you, the pump up I'll give, his energy was unbelievable. Like I was getting, I had to stand up because I had to get away from the big fella, but I couldn't believe the scent coming from the pits. So I thought, gee,
it's common courtesy to just throw some pit treatment on before you go to a festival.
Oh.
Mate, I don't know about you when you were playing footy, but we had blokes that would roll in at 8 o'clock and do, mobility and stretching and pong already. I'm like, mate, you've just woken up. What makes you sweat and stink this early in the morning? Anyway.
You can't be smelling that bad.
That early too. I mean, at a festival, it's nearly like you can understand.
It was a show. Like it doesn't matter. It's like going out for dinner and this is the thing, right? Your seats are pretty tight. And I just felt that bad for the girl next to him. I'm thinking, she's right under his pit. He was 6'3", this bloke, throwing the arms around. He was having a good old time. And I'm thinking, oh, the poor girl next to her, she's about to pass out. I could see her. It was bad. I know I'm exaggerating here, but there's a time where we've all had, where you go to the locker room, where you go to work, and there's that one person that just, it's like they can't smell their own pits. I reckon this bloke needs to eat a bottle of Rexona just so his hormones change, because it was something shocking. So there you go. That is my KPI. Stop that for the week.
I'm with you, Train. Get some Rexona on your pits and stop that.
There you go. Hopefully we've got more next week, because that one got me. But everyone that tuned in, hope you enjoyed the pod. We've given some insights out. We hope our tips can come through this week. We're looking forward to these games. Round one is back. Footy's officially back. Every team and every supporter should be up and about, and we appreciate your support. If you're enjoying this, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. I truly mean that, and share this with all your footy fans and your friends, because we love it. We're going to be here all year. And if you want to shoot us a message, just, DM on Instagram or comment on our YouTube or whatever, let us know, because we'll add it to the show. Anything from you, Hibbo?
Nah, looking forward to bouncing back after a stinker on the tips and a stinker on the pigs parlay last week. So hopefully pick some winners.
Tell you what, I'm sweating. I might need a bottle of Rexona myself right here.
Might have to eat it.
It's getting a bit hot in here. See you next week, guys. Cheers. Ya. This episode is proudly sponsored by KPI Construction Services. When it comes to construction sites, reliability and efficiency are key. That's where KPI Construction Services shines. With a single call, KPI provides a range of essential services, which includes labour hire, crane hire, and traffic control. KPI is a progressive business with modern plant and equipment across all of their operating states. Focusing on innovation and to avoid the business drifting is always front of mind. We are proud to be aligned with and have such a reputable company partnering with the show. Aces, I know I always go on about the Rixies, but I got huge news. We have all our styles and colours restocked on the website right now. Get online, grab some sunglasses at rixeyewear.com.au right now and use our little discount code ACES if you want a 20% discount code on the house.